Hello, everybody. It's really good to be able to come and share the final part. As Daryl says, we can get off the roller coaster this morning, hopefully. I hope you can hear me all right. So I'm just going to keep talking and hope that all the technical stuff is working out this morning. So, yeah, this is the final part of my stop the roller coaster, I want to get off message, which is something that I believe that God gave me to share with you guys. And you know, life can feel very much like a roller coaster, can't it? With all the ups and downs and twists and turns. And sometimes it can feel like perhaps we're just hanging on for dear life, like that image I had of Jess when on that roller coaster I shared right at the beginning, of just head down, eyes closed, gritting her teeth, holding on. And it can feel like sometimes that's what we're doing in life. We're just trying to hold on and get through it. But, you know, there's a verse in Philippians that we've been looking at, from Philippians 4, verse 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." So we've been looking at the roller coaster. Now, we don't have a PowerPoint today, and I'm going to be looking, primarily we're going to be looking at the Psalms. So if you want to get your Bibles ready, if you want to follow on, please do. But so the things we've been looking at with the roller coaster, we looked at the slow climb of dread and worry and fear. We've looked at the great drop of disappointment and discouragement. And today, what I want to do is look at the loop, the loop, when our world turns upside down. So we've been talking about how rejoicing can help us in those times of worry and fear and disappointment and discouragement. But what about those times when it really feels like our world is turned upside down? So maybe we receive a really serious diagnosis, or we face financial calamity, or when we lose someone close to us, or a relationship breaks down, and it feels like life will never be the same again. And it won't. Even living in our current situation at the moment, I've heard people say how it feels like the world has turned upside down. Everything has changed. And that can feel devastating. Now, I've been saying that, you know, we've always got reason to rejoice. But is it really reasonably reasonable for God to expect us to rejoice even in those times where our world is turned upside down, when everything seems to be falling apart? Now, I don't know what your life is like this morning. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what tragedy, pain, heartache you've had to experience. But I know a man who does, Jesus. Now, you may feel like no one can possibly understand. And you'll be right. Actually, no one can. No one else really knows how you're feeling today. Even if they've been through similar circumstances, you are unique and your emotions are unique to you. But I want to tell you today, Jesus does. Now, I want to make it really clear at the beginning of this, that rejoicing is not the same as feeling happy. And I also want to be clear that being sad is not wrong. Grief is not wrong. It's important. And sadness is actually part of our human experience. And I don't want anyone to think this morning that I'm just saying, cheer up. As my mum used to say when I was little and I was grumpy, cheer up, it might never happen. You know, our situations are very different and your pain is very real. So I don't want you to think this morning that in any way I'm belittling your pain. But you know what? I do believe that God has given us guidance in his word for every situation in life. And even in those times when our world has been turned upside down, I believe that this instruction from Philippians 4 to rejoice in the Lord always is a key to being able to get through those times. Now, Paul didn't say in that verse, be happy. I tell you again, be happy. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And that's the key. We're not rejoicing in our circumstances. We're rejoicing in the Lord, despite our circumstances. We're rejoicing because of him and through him. Now, let's be honest, it's a lot easier to do that when we feel happy, when our circumstances are good, but we don't have to feel joyful in order to rejoice. Now, I honestly believe that God knows what's good for us. And if he's asking us to rejoice, he must know that that's something that's important, even in our times of difficulty. And I believe that rejoicing, choosing to rejoice, can change us, even in the midst of our circumstances. So what do we have to rejoice about? What's the basis for our rejoicing in the midst of pain and heartache and difficulty? Well, I want to give just three reasons today that I hope will encourage us to rejoice in the Lord always. So firstly, because God sees. Excuse me. So Psalm 31, verse 7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. Now, David wrote this psalm, and we mentioned a bit last time about the troubles that David experienced. And you can see as we read more of this psalm how he was feeling. So verses 9 to 10 in Psalm 31 say, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. So it's fair to say he wasn't having a brilliant time. But despite all this, he said, I will be glad and rejoice because God has seen my troubles and cares about my anguish. So even before his situation had changed, he can rejoice simply because his God sees and his God cares. Now, sometimes we can feel really alone in our troubles, but Jesus sees. And I don't mean that he's sitting on a cloud somewhere far away, looking down on our situation and just kind of watching impassionately. That's not what it's about. In fact, when it talks about he cares, that word for care is know, which means intimately known. Jesus intimately knows, he's intimately acquainted with the anguish of our souls. He doesn't just see what's going on, he totally gets it and he totally cares. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And that word acquainted is the same word, know, intimately acquainted with. Jesus was intimately acquainted with pain and suffering. He knows. He can personally identify with our pain. He identifies with us in our suffering in a way that no one else can. No one else can fully understand except him. Now, it's often mentioned that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. But there's another verse in the Bible that has only two words. I wonder if anyone knows what it is. This could have been a quiz question on Friday night. But the other verse with only two words is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says, rejoice always. And I think this is really significant for us. We can rejoice always because Jesus wept. He understands. And I believe that's a reason to rejoice this morning. So secondly then, because he keeps us stable. So Psalm 16 verses 8 to 9 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Now, there's nothing stable or certain in this world. And if nothing else, the last few months have really shown us that. If we're relying on ourselves, on others, on our bank balance, on our employment, on our government, on our health, for our stability and security, we're building our lives on very unstable ground. And when those things that we rely on are taken away or become uncertain, we can literally feel like the rug has been pulled away from underneath us. We don't have the security and we can feel very vulnerable. Now, in our current times, many of the things that we normally depend on might have gone or become very insecure. Our routines, our employment, our family life, our finances, our social contact, our freedom has all been affected. But as Christians, our foundation, the foundation of our stability, is the certainty of God's word and the certainty of his love. The verse we've just read says, with him at our right hand, we will not be shaken. Now, there's a significance of the term right hand in the Bible. In the Bible, the right hand typically refers to a position of authority and strength, but also of blessing. So having God at our right hand means that he's in a position of authority over us. He's in that position of strength next to us, and he's the one who brings blessing. David says in verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. This is our key to stability, keeping our eyes fixed on him. Remember the story of Peter walking on the water. He looked at Jesus and walked towards him. But then when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves and the storm around him, he began to sink. When we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, even in the storm raging around us, we will not sink. And if we start to sink, he'll put out his hand and grab us. Now, does anybody remember the Weebles? If you're as old as I am, you'll remember that there were toys called the Weebles, which were little egg-shaped people that were weighted so that they wobbled and you could push them, but they never actually fell over. And the slogan was, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And I believe that as Christians, we can be Weebles. Just in case you're wondering where I'm going with this, there is a Bible verse I'd like to share. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We can be certain if we build our lives on Jesus, we are secure. We may wobble, but we won't fall down, because just like those Weebles, we have something, or rather someone, inside of us that keeps us stable. And I believe that's a reason to rejoice. And then thirdly, because of his love, salvation, and goodness. Psalm 13, another psalm of David, says, How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I think we can relate to this, can't we? How much longer? But, and there's a big but in verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David was completely honest about his pain. I love that. He doesn't have any problems moaning at God, which is a great comfort to me because I've done my fair share. But he also makes a choice to trust in God's unfailing love, to rejoice in his salvation, and praise him for his goodness. If you've received that salvation today, you always have reason to rejoice. You know, I think it would be good just to take a minute just to reflect on our salvation, just to remind ourselves of what it is that God has done for us. You see, God made us, mankind, out of love to have a relationship with us. But we've gone our own way. We've rejected him. We've turned our back on him. We've turned our back on his love. We've decided that we know better. We've rejected his love and his guidelines for living. And all of that is called sin. Now, God could have given up on us. He could have wiped us out, or he could have just left us to the consequences of our rebellion. But he didn't. Because he loves you and me so much, he made a plan. He had a rescue plan. And that rescue plan was Jesus. He came to earth as a man, the only perfect man who ever lived, the only one who never actually deserved punishment, the one who didn't deserve to die. But he came to pay the penalty, pay the price for what we have done, to take our sin, our mistakes on him on the cross, so that we can be washed clean and we can have that relationship with the Father once again. Jesus rescued us from the consequences of our sin, which is separation from him forever in hell. Jesus died a horrific death so that we could have an abundant eternal life. So how do we receive this salvation? Well, it's simple. We just say yes to Jesus. We recognize that we have need of a savior. We can come to him and ask for forgiveness, and we're washed clean. We are received into his family, born again, given a brand new start. Now, there may be people watching this today, and you've never done that. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never come in and recognized that you need a savior. Well, I really believe that it's right to give you an opportunity to do that today. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to join with me in your own home, you can pray this in your heart. If this is what you would like to do today, I want to give you that opportunity. So I'm just going to pray. Dear Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you made a way for me to be your child. I understand that Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins, so that I could be forgiven and washed clean. Thank you that your forgiveness means that I can have a relationship with you and go to heaven. I'm sorry that I've lived my life my own way without you at the center. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me clean. Come and live in my life. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that this morning, we would love to hear from you. Please contact us in one of the ways that Daryl will mention, because we'd love to help you on this journey. Or maybe this morning you're thinking, well, yes, maybe. You're kind of on that journey and you're not quite sure. Well, contact us. We'd love to give you an opportunity just to talk to someone, ask some questions, find out a bit more. Salvation is all about new life, new hope, new purpose, new family, new adventure. And if nothing else, this is reason to rejoice. Isaiah 12, verse 2 to 3 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation." Our salvation is the reason we can trust and not be afraid. Our salvation is a spring that we can draw on continually, that we can rejoice in always. As Christians, even if everything else in our life seems to be falling apart, our salvation alone is a reason to rejoice. God's unfailing love and goodness to us, not just in our salvation, but every day of our lives, is a basis for rejoicing. His love never runs out and his goodness never fails. I want to finish by reading a few more verses from Psalm 31, verses 21 to 22. "Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, 'I am cut off from your sight.' Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help." Now, we may feel like we're under siege at the moment. We're surrounded by difficulty, literally not able to get out. But as David says in this psalm, even in that place of siege, God shows the wonders of his love. You may feel cut off from the world, cut off from friends, family, but we are not cut off from his sight. We can never be cut off from his love, and that is reason to rejoice. I just would like to pray as we end. Lord, I thank you that we have reason to rejoice in you today. And I pray that everybody in their own homes today would experience a freshness, Lord, of your touch. That as they rejoice in you, as they give you glory and praise, that, Lord, that they would experience that joy welling up, the joy of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.